I'm excited about sharing the Word of God with you today. Let me encourage you along with my wife this morning. Ladies, please log on to loxleychurch.cc and register for that Women's Night of Worship next month. It's live today. You guys can let us know. And that lets us know how many are coming so that we can prepare for that. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? If you're ready, come on, say, I'm ready. Amen. Not going to be long today, but at the conclusion of the message today, we will be praying over our blessings, prayer targets, as well as receiving communion and taking the Lord's Supper together today. Hope you remember to get your communion as you came in today. But let's continue with part three in our message series, Treasure. Everyone say treasure. We're dealing with the concept of God's blessings and provision and the concept of our life in generosity. And we're basing our series really on the teachings of Jesus from Matthew chapter number 6. And here's what he said in verse 20. Matthew 6 and 20. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Everybody say that one out loud with me. Everybody ready? Come on. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the most vital principle that we're hoping to really get across to everyone this month is that giving in all of its forms is a matter of the heart. Thank God. This morning, I'm going to be asking everybody, man, let's practice in giving. Let's make sure you get a giving envelope today and at the conclusion of the service. And I've asked the usher team to serve you as you on your way out today, but let's practice and bless this. Giving is a matter of the heart. Here's what Jesus is teaching. He said that your heart will be towards temporary, earthly things, or your heart will be towards eternal things of heaven. And when we prioritize what is temporary and earth-based, Jesus said that our giving, our investment, becomes vulnerable to destruction and loss. He said it's the destruction of rust, moths, and thieves. But when we prioritize heavenly gifts, that's heavenly spiritual treasures, then our gift and our investment is not vulnerable to loss because we're not giving our gifts over to the natural world where the world can destroy it. No, we're giving our gifts and our investment over to the supernatural world where God is in control. Thank God. And what he does is he takes our natural thing and he does supernatural things with them. So along with me this morning, how many can say, you know what, I'm hoping and believing God to take my natural that I give and turn it around and do supernatural things with it. Can y'all agree with me on that one right there? And if you're believing for special things to happen in your life, in your family, in your church, I can tell you this, you keep on holding on and withholding, then it's going to be only apt to accomplish what you could do on your own. But if you give something to God, he can do amazing things with it. Thank God. So we're answering this question all month long. How do we lay up treasures in heaven, heavenly treasure? How do we do this? And so we answer it by doing this. We master the spiritual discipline of giving. We master that spiritual discipline of giving. It's a trial for a lot of people. But we can think about it this way. Our giving is the indicator of where our heart truly is. Our giving determines who we serve. And so we ask this morning, do we serve ourselves or do we serve God and others? Well, that's a question we need to answer today. And there's plenty of help for us in God's Word. So let's begin by looking at just three ideas, three memorable facts, three amazing facts about giving. And here they are. Ready? Here we go. Number one, God is the great giver. Come on, can y'all say it with me? Say, God is the great giver. Thank God. He's the great giver. Let me remind us of what the Word says about God in Psalm 24 and verse number 1. Remember this about the Lord. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Thank God. The earth is the Lord's. It just means that the earth and everything in creation belongs to God. In other words, he made it all. I said he made it all, guys. And that means he owns it. Everybody say he owns it. And because he is the owner, God can do whatever he wants to do with it. And his choice is he chooses to share it. Aren't you glad about that right there? Thank God. The book of Genesis is the account of God compiling and conjoining his will and his word with his energy to spin out and create the heavens and create the earth and create the waters, the light, the firmament, the grass, the herbs, the trees, the fruits, the birds, the animals, and even people. And when God, the word said, when God was finished in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25, the Bible says that when God was finished, that he stood back and he looked and he saw and he said, it was good. Thank God. See, creation itself this morning stands as the preeminent account of the foundations of God's dynamic characteristic of great giving. I'll point that out this morning because God has a great inward trait of being a great dynamic giver. And I want you to remember that God has the characteristic of being a great giver, because in just a moment, I'm going to be pointing out that you are made in the image of God. And because he made you in his image, he's blessed you and given you that characteristic as well to be a great giver. Thank God. It's inside of you if you're a believer. There's no way around it. Everything you see is evidence of how God exhibits his nature to give. It's one of the great reasons, church. It's one of the great reasons why you, as his child, you should never become worried or become frantic concerning your Heavenly Father's ability or his willingness to bless you, to give to you, to provide for you and your family. You don't have to worry about whether or not he has enough. Why? Because he never runs out. He owns everything. Praise God. He owns it all. See, there are times when our faith concerning giving may be tested. And we all know that's true. And we may even have to endure some hardships along the way until we finally learn that your giving life is the portal to God's spiritual blessings in your life. I've been there. I know that. We've been there. We've learned that. I've learned that lesson the hard way. But church, God is not like us. I said, God's not like us. What's the difference? Well, God gives bountifully, automatically, because his giving life is not hinged to circumstances, the way ours seems sometimes to be hinged on circumstances. See, we're waiting to see if everything lines up to find out if we can comply with the biblical mandate to be great spiritual givers. But you know what? God isn't bound by those circumstances. No, he's not hinging on whether or not everything looks good, or whether or not there's enough in the bank, or whether or not you want to do without it, or whether or not everything's flowing towards you. No, he never has to wonder whether there is enough of whatever you need, child of God. Why? Because he already owns it all. And his giving only hinges on one condition, and here it is. He gives for one purpose. He gives because he loves. I said he gives because he loves. It's what motivates him to be a great giver is his love for you and I. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. What a scripture. It said, he who did not even spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not along with him give us freely all things? Thank God. What does that scripture really mean? It just means that he loves you so much that he gave everything. He didn't even withhold his own son from you. And if he won't withhold Jesus Christ from you, but gave his son up so that you could be with Jesus and with God forever, how can we not have faith that he'll also bless you with all that you need? Thank God. You've often heard, you can't outgive God. And it's true. Because listen, not only does he never run out of what you need, he gives because it's in him to give, and giving is much, much more than what he does. Giving is who he is. Thank God. Giving is who he is. He has to do it. That brings me to my second amazing fact, this memorable idea about giving today that I want to leave with you. And that is this: God designed people to be great givers. Come on, say it with me. Ready? God designed people to be great givers. Notice the first thing that God did. After he made everything and he stood back and he observed his creation and he said that it was good, the next thing he did was he turned around and he gave it away. Notice in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Read along with me on your screen. It said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Notice he said, "Let them have." He went on to say this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And church, this is exactly who we are, who I am and who you are today. You're created in the image of God. So if you want to know today what it is that you're designed to be, if you want to know about how you're designed to act, how you're designed to choose, how you're designed to treat people in your life, well, your first step is to find out who he is and then start acting like him. That's what we do. You're in his image. So we have to ask this morning, who is God? Well, the Bible defines God like this in John chapter 4 and verse 8. You all remember this from VBS when you were a kid. He said, God is love. God is love. And when we think about that word love, I believe the highest and most definitive way to explain that love in action is the word giving. Because that's who he is. He is a giving God. Can you say a good amen right there? Come on. That means this morning that he's always been giving. He's giving right now in this room, and he'll continue to give forever. Watch this closely. This is a principle I hope that you really take with you today. It's going to get you into your breakthrough in giving. He designed us in his image to be like him. Why? So that we could relate to him. It was his love for us that caused him to create us in his image. Not just so that we would have physical characteristics like Christ, but we're created in his image so that we would be able to relate to him. And that means to have traits and to have characteristics in common with him. Everybody say in common. Come on. He created you in his image because he wanted there to be some things about you that were in common with him. Okay? So let me ask you this question. What do you have in common with God? Well, I want you to understand this today. You're designed to act like him in certain ways. Just like any relationship can happen when two people have things in common. Just like you and your spouse this morning. Just like you and your husband or you and your wife have things in common so that you relate to one another over the course of a lifetime, God designed you to have things in common with him to ensure that you can relate to him over the course of your lifetime in your new life. Thank God. Can you say a good one right there? Come on. I thought about me and Karen this morning, about how we love and enjoy our marriage for 28 years now, thank God. One of the things I've always noticed about Karen, she's masterful at adapting to things that I love to suit me so that we maintain great things in common. And I do the same thing. It's one of the great advantages that we give ourselves. We want to make sure that we are into the things that we're into. Amen, everybody. Come on. You've often heard this. Well, a couple goes bad and maybe there's a bad breakup and, well, what happened? Well, we just didn't have anything in common anymore. You ever heard that one before? We just didn't have anything in common anymore. Well, understand, I've told this story in the first service, but it's so good. One of the great things that she has really impressed upon me lately that we have in common the past several months is she has developed a new love for the Braves. I'm a huge Braves fan, and we watch the Braves just about every night. But I started noticing this season that she has become not just somebody who's willing to sit with me and watch a game. She's become a real fan this season. And I got to be honest with you. It caused me to fall in love with her a little bit more. It really did. It really did. Okay? So thank God. And the other day, I was really impressed. We have this in common now. And so the other day, we weren't watching the game, and she says to me, "Hey, aren't the boys playing tonight?" I perked up because, hey, she called them the boys. That's good stuff. That let me know she's a real fan now, thank God. She called them the boys. And I really, the most impressive thing about that was we now have that wonderful thing in common. Okay, now she also adapted to the fact that I like to fish. So she started liking going fishing with me, but then she started out fishing me every time. Last time she caught the hugest fish I've ever seen, and then she proceeded to brag about it for like 3 months. Oh, it was huge. It was like 32 inches long. And every time we'd get around somebody new, she'd be like, hey, did you show them the fish? Come on, get your phone out, show them the picture of the fish. So we might not have fishing in common for very much longer. I'm just kidding about that. The idea here is very, very simple, but it's the same. God intends for you to have things in common with him. This is part of being made in his image. And he did that because he loves you and he wants to be able to relate to you over the course of your life in him. Thank God. Can y'all understand that, guys? Come on, if you get that, say a good amen. Here's a few other things that you have in common with God. First of all, you have the capacity to love. This is in his image. See, you can love because he is love. And he made you in his image. That's why you can love. He wanted to make sure that like him, you have the capacity to love. Also, he wanted to make sure that you have the ability to demonstrate a volitional will. That's part of being in his image. What does that mean, Pastor Brandon? It just means that you can make choices all on your own because God gave you the autonomy to choose. He made you that way because that's how he is, and you're made in his image. Thank God. And then lastly, he wanted to be able to relate to you in his image with this trait. Have that joy and fulfillment that comes in the act of great giving. God designed you to be a great giver. It's one of the things that he wants to have in common with you. So he made you that way. He made you in his image. Aren't you grateful today? Thank God. And that brings us to our very last big idea when it comes to giving this morning. And that's this. I want you to be reminded of this today. Number three, we are at our best when we are giving. Come on, say it out loud with me. Everybody ready? We are at our best when we are giving. In the beginning, we were at our best in our giving nature, in his image. But sin disrupted that giving nature. And something had to be done so that we could be restored to our his image nature. So that we could become great givers again, the way that he designed us to be. See, God was at his very, very best when he gave the ultimate gift so that we could be reconciled back to him. And you know the Bible scripture that goes with that story. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Just says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice that the greatest gift of all was God's gift of his son. And notice what motivated God to give that great gift was his love for you and me. See, God was at his best when he gave Christ. And we are at our best when we're living a life of great giving. I want to remind us of something great before we pray and move into communion this morning. Being eager to give is one of the ways that we separate our old life from our new life in Christ. How many realize that when you became born again, you left some things behind and you got into a new life? It's that old life of self-service and greed goes away, and your new life of generosity and your new life of faith and sharing begin to take over. That's why 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? Well, it just means that your new life in Christ is a life of great giving. Thank God. And we need to be reminded about that. In fact, we could say that being truly alive is to discover that in his image, real living doesn't start until you become a great giver. Because it's a new life. Everybody say new life. Come on. It's a brand new life, man. Yeah, we used to live a selfish life, but Jesus came in, changed our nature, and restored us into his image. And now the likeness of who he is manifest in us and how we behave and how we treat people. So 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this, "For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Thank God, thank God. And Romans 6:11 says this, "Likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's that word reckon. I reckon I'm going to have lunch in just a little while. I reckon my team got beat bad yesterday. I reckon things. That word reckon just means to think about. We've said that our whole life here in South Alabama, and we reckon some things out. And here's the scripture saying this. I want you to reckon this about you, that you're indeed dead to who you used to be, but now alive in Jesus Christ. Thank God. That means sometimes you may be tempted to forget about this generosity that God's called us to. You may be tempted to withhold and not give, to revert back to an old lifestyle in your old life. But it's in those moments that the word here says, you know what? You need to reckon that you're changed now and you don't need to conduct yourself the old way. Amen, somebody. I reckon we're going to get there. Thank God. Thank God. His gift was to us, the gift of his life. Let's let that be the driving force behind all of our behaviors. I'm wrapping this up, guys, but watch closely. This is what happens when you're a new creature in Jesus. He or she comes alive. You realize that there is a behavioral dividing line between the old life in greed and selfishness and the new life in faith and giving. Church, hear me. You can come alive today, not because of anything that you do, but because of what he did. And you can begin to experience the blessing. You begin to experience the provision. Begin to experience the security and the confidence of being a great giver. Aren't you glad, church? That confidence and that security of the promises of being like Christ, who is the greatest giver of all time. Amen, everybody. Come on. If you receive it this morning, come on. I say I receive it right there. Come on. Let's give God a big hand clap of praise right there if you receive that. God bless you this morning.